The mitzvah saseh, which perhaps rivals no other in chashivus, is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Every morning, we begin Shacharis with the Mishnah in Peah that tells us the Talmud Torah keneged kulam. We end Tfilas Mariv, ki heim chayenu v'orech yameinu. It's not only a matter of hashtafa, a matter of how we equate and evaluate the importance of mitzvos. For a ben yeshiva, most of his day is spent in Limud HaTorah. It goes very well with the concept of our hashtafa. That's what a ben Torah should be doing for most of his day. But there's a problem that sometimes is encountered. Sometimes, a person's trying to learn a new sugya, gemara, halacha, navi, chumash. And as much as he tries, it's just not going. He feels like the more time he spends, the less he accomplishes. So to an extent, there's an inverse relationship. The more important Limud HaTorah is to that very person, the more he's going to feel, to an extent, a sense of yish, a sense of chalishas hadas, a sense of feeling down that he's not accomplishing. So sometimes, the very fact that Talmud Torah is so important can be a bit of a kink in the armor of a ben Torah. How do we approach that? We're going to discuss two different approaches, which work beautifully and symbiotically to help a ben Torah understand and accomplish in situations where things aren't going as well as he would have thought. Firstly, there's an unbelievable Gemara in the end of Maseches Tainis. As we know, there's one time a year, it should never happen again, that a person is prohibited from wearing Torah. The Gemara tells us towards the end of Taf Lamed, Aser Likros B'Torah B'Neviim, B'Ksuvim, B'Lishnos B'Mishnah, B'Talmud, B'Medrash, B'Halachos, B'Adados. A person not allowed to learn any part of Torah that we know. But the Tana Kama in the Gemara continues with an unbelievable opinion. According to some, it seems that according to our Gersa, it's anonymous Tana Kama. Some are shown with the Gersa of Reb Meir. Could be it's the same. This usually in the anonymous Tana Kama is Reb Meir, but some had that explicitly. Zach B'Demara, the Braisa, Avot Korehu B'Machom She'ina Rodi Litros, V'Shone B'Machom She'ina Rodi Lashanos. So not only says the Braisa, you had to learn Varm Haroim, Echa, or Eov, or parts of Yirmiah, but a Sudya that he's not familiar with says the Tana Kama in the Braisa and the Gemara is totally permissible on Tisha B'Av. Korehu b'makom she'ina rodi likros, v'shona b'makom she'ina rodi lishnos. He's allowed to learn in a place where he's not, as we say, holding on the sugya. Lemaisa, Rabbi Yehuda is the Deha Chavetis in the Braisa. He disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af eno korei b'makom she'ina rodi likros, v'eno shona b'makom she'ina rodi lishnos. He's not allowed to learn, even if it's a sugya that he's not familiar with, even if he's starting the sugya of Tafel Kohen and he's not familiar with it at all. On Tisha B'Av, that's not permissible. And Rabbi Yehuda explains why. As we know, Shinarikos, it says, Pitrudei Hashem Yisharim, Misamachei Leiv. The words of Torah create simcha. Now think about it for a minute. Zoch Darach HaShulchan, what's pshat in this machotis? In reality, everyone agrees, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir agree, that even for a Talmud Chacham, even for a Tana, when you're learning the Sugya, that you're not completely holding in, it's bagush in a rodil, there's a certain sour. No one disagrees with that. That's pashut. That's sometimes Torah, as kadosh, as tahar, as important, as significant as it is, when you're learning the Sugya that you're not familiar with, it causes some sort of tzar. I say kach, that Reb Meir holds that you're allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av in such a situation. You're not holding in the sugya. Lamai says, the Rosh Hashanah says, Reb Yehuda disagrees. Why? Reb Yehuda understands that intrinsically, even though this tzar, Nefesh Yisrael, the neshama of a yid, has such simcha when you are in Torah, that objective simcha outweighs the tzar. The pasuk of Pekudei Hashem Yisharim B'Sam Chelev teaches us that even a sugya that you're not familiar with, that you're not rodeo with, you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. So everyone agrees, as the Aruch HaShulchan explains, and you don't really need the Aruch HaShulchan to say it, it's very mistaber. Everyone agrees there's tzar when you're in a sugya that you're not familiar with. That's metzias. The question is that Chazal, when they prohibited the dinim of Tisha B'Av, they prohibited all Talmud Torah, even if it's a sugya that you're not familiar with. Now let's take a step back for a minute and think about that. Even for a Tana, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are talking about themselves too, not just people that are on a lower level. For anyone, objectively, there is going to be a tsar when a person is learning sugya that he's not familiar with. Makom shenu rogel. And that itself gives us tremendous license. Sometimes we'll start a new sugya. We're learning a sugya, but we're learning a new pshat in a rishon. We're learning a few lines in Achron. And we feel like, ugh, it's just not going. That tsar is not unique. It doesn't mean that you're shvach, that you're a nebuch, that you're a situation where, you know, if you were smarter, you wouldn't get such tsar. That's an objective din that happens. Torah HaKadosha is the consummate intellectual pursuit. When a person is learning Torah, part and parcel of that beautiful zuchus we have to learn Torah is that sometimes there's tzar if we don't understand. So if a person is in a situation where he might feel more tired, or might feel that he's not as well-versed, or have other ways that he can doubt himself, it's important not to let the Yetzirah say, ha-ha, it's you. That is a normal part of Limud HaTorah. So part number one is that it's normal. To normalize the fact that there's tzar, tzar that we would have thought is mutter to do on Tisha B'Av. You can learn any sugya in Shas if you're not holding in the sugya, because there's tzar. Wow. What a powerful statement that normalizes and helps us see that tzar is part of the aspect of embarking on the beautiful mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. But there's another part as well. There's been a lot of research which is done specifically trying to encapsulate how is it that a person does any task and feels motivation to do something that he's not familiar with. To an extent, a way that I encapsulate the ideas, based upon research primarily done by a person named Dr. Dale Shunk, who used to be the Dean of Education at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro. He published most of his research in the early 90s, published extensively on motivation and education. He was focusing on the educational aspect, but as you'll see, it's something which is really related to intellectual pursuits and physical pursuits and anything. But specifically in Limud HaTorah, you need to have what I call the PRS system. First step is you pick what you're trying to do. You're trying to learn a sugya, learn a rishon, figure out learn how to lean a parsha, and then set mini goals. So step one is set mini goals. Mini goals is not that I'm going to figure out how to lean the whole parsha. I'm going to figure out how to do 5 psukim. Then the next 5 psukim. Mini goals. I'm going to figure out how to do the next 10 lines of this rajba in the next hour. Mini goals. But mini goals are not enough. There's a lot of talk about goals nowadays. People like setting goals. It's very, very powerful. But there are 3 specific pratim, the PRS system, necessary to set mini goals. Number one, mini goals, the short goals that we use within a broader target, need to be proximate. That means that each mini goal should be close and attainable in the near future. Like the examples I gave. Learn how to do 5 psukim. Not even till Shani. Why? Because the purpose of mini dolls is not just to break down what you're doing. Mini dolls create an automatic loop in the brain to create what's called self-efficacy. Self-efficacy means the belief that you can do something. Whether it's something that you've done before and are embarking on again, or something you've never done before. It's normal, as we saw in the Gemara to an extent, tzar, to self-doubt, to doubt, to some extent, the ability that you have to do it. Mini goals are a way to create, both automatically and consciously, confidence in your mind that you can embark on whatever you're embarking on. That's what we call self-efficacy. So, step one in creating self-efficacy with the mini-goal is that the mini-goals need to be proximate. They need to be close and attainable in the near future. This way, you can revel in a small bit of progress. You do 5 psukim, you do 10 lines in the Rajba. Yes, you can do 100 lines, 200 lines in the Rajba. But you do 10 lines, it creates an automatic feedback loop in your brain that, oh, I thought I can do this. So, P is proximate. R is that each mini goal needs to be reasonably difficult. Make sure that each goal you choose is challenging enough. For a person who's a talented Baal Kare, 5 psukim is nothing. For a person who's learning Rajvas and Rishonim all the time, maybe 10 lines in the Rajvas is nothing. A person has to know what their goal is. To an extent, it's always nice to set a cheap goal and then have the hana of doing it. Okay, I figured I succeeded at my goal. But in reality, if we're trying to use the mini goal to create more confidence in our brains, of our capabilities, it has to be something which is on the border. Not too easy, not too difficult. Too difficult will give us yosh. Too easy will not give us the feedback we need. So R is that it needs to be reasonably difficult. And S is that each mini goal needs to be specific, concrete. Dr. Shung found that concrete mini goals raise efficacy, raise motivation much better than general goals. For example, if a student was given a requirement, so do your best, or see what you can do in an hour, he found those goals had no significant impact on motivation at all. No one really felt any asorus, any desire to do a task, when they're told, do your best, come on, you can do it. To an extent, if they're told, do in the next 15 minutes, write the first paragraph of an essay, or specifically do the first 15 lines of the Rajba, then those specific goals create the feedback loop that we desire. So, in order to succeed in Limud HaTorah, number one, it's important to acknowledge that it's normal not to always feel into it, to feel the tzar. And number two, in Torah and Lahavdil in any other tasks, to follow the two-step process of PRS. Part number one is to isolate mini-goals. Part number two is to acknowledge those mini-goals need to have the PRS criteria. Proximate, that means each one is attainable in the near future. Reasonably difficult to build the self-efficacy. And specific, concrete, rather than do your best, is do the next 10 lines. We should all be zoche that we have the hana and the simcha of Limud HaTorah, which indeed is Kneged Kulam.